Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, the America Out Loud platform, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. Head over to theamericaoutloud.com, where you will have a ton of our show, After Dark with Rob and Andrew, in the library to listen to. Folks, I'm excited about tonight, but I've got to start off by saying that, unfortunately, my co-host, Andrew, won't be able to join us. He injured himself, so we hope he gets better soon, and he'll be back with us hopefully on Wednesday night. But tonight, I have a special co-host, and he is none other than Chris Trimogli, who is a reporter for the Washington Examiner. We have had him on our show before, and we've talked about some of his articles. And if you go to our site on Facebook, you will see a lot of his articles that I have posted. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
So, Chris, I am excited about you sitting in for Andrew tonight. And I'm sure, as always, when you've come on here, you are ready to bring it.
Yes. Sorry for Andrew being hurt. Hope he feels well. Best wishes out there. And I'm excited to be your co-host.
Terrific. So, Chris, let's see. You know, a lot has taken place. The other night, Monday, Andrew and I were talking about Jan 6 and the hearings and the fiasco that it was, and that the Democrats were hoping, they kept telling everyone, along with the media, because the media, of course, was giving them free advertisement saying, oh man, this is going to be riveting, it's going to be breathtaking, much watch TV. Now, I didn't watch all of it on Thursday night when it first aired, and then last night on Monday, I didn't watch it either. I did look at some of the little clips, and so far, I haven't learned anything new. They haven't produced anything new. I know that they're trying to run with, Ivanka said that she doesn't agree with her dad, and that she believes what Bill Barr said, that the election wasn't stolen. Well, she's entitled to her opinion. So what's the big hoorah about that? Ivanka, whom they told us for the past 4 years, was an airhead, and we can't believe anything she says. Now, all at once, they're propping her up. She's a godsend, and we've got to listen, because what she's saying is the truth. I'm like, really? And this is how these guys operate time after time after time. Thursday's showing was a bust. Monday's showing was a bust. And I think it's going to come on again. This is Tuesday night. It's going to come on again either Wednesday or Thursday. And I think it's going to be a bust also. What do you say?
Yeah, you're actually done better than I have in this whole thing. I haven't watched a second of these show trials. And that's exactly what they are. They're show trials. I mean, there's nothing more to it. This is like the latest rendition of Russia, 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 you know, all the stuff that, like, remember early on in Trump's presidency, there was the, oh, we've heard Mueller's found and Mueller's discovered. And then all of a sudden, you know, when it came to fruition, nothing was there. So I refuse to contribute to any of this madness. Do I think the January 6th Capitol riot, and there's a riot, not an insurrection, was right? No. And I think pretty much everyone is, you know, I understand why some people may have supported their actions, but I definitely don't think that was the wrong way to go about doing that. And this is just basically what's going on now is an attempt to try to, this is basically what's going on now is for 2024. I have to imagine that the Democrats know that nothing's really going to come of this. It's just basically more propaganda to delegitimize, discredit Trump. That's why they're bringing and parading Ivanka. Now, all of a sudden, she's the golden child. But as you said before, during her the 4 years when Trump was in office, she was a monster and, you know, a ditch. And every other thing you're not supposed to say about women, but it's okay if you say about women if the woman's a Republican. So it's just sad. I know at this point, I really want to know who believes these things. I mean, I know there's a good segment of the population that does. I just don't understand how. And it's like, how damaged of a human being must you be to believe these things that are going on and not see for what the propaganda that it is. So,
well, you know, you said you wonder who. I'll tell you who. They're that small segment of the population that no matter what Trump does, no matter what the Republicans do, they don't like it. You look at the state of the economy. These people told us that Biden was going to come in and he was going to change everything. Biden even said it. He said that he was going to bring unity. But Biden has done everything but that.
Well, he brought unity, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Not the kind you wanted, but he brought unity.
And every time they're out there, they're constantly talking about what Putin has done. And I have said this during the Trump years, that they have given Putin so much power that he does not have. Power to think that this man could literally come here and like disrupt our election? I'm like, are you serious?
Like, yeah, there's giving the talking.
They're giving him power that he doesn't deserve. It's like they're building him up to be this powerful man that he isn't, Chris.
Yeah, it's you would think that Putin is Joseph Stalin, the way they talk about him, and the amount of attention and publicity they give him. And, you know, this stuff, he's pretty much been persona non grata, enemy of the U.S. since, what, 2015, 2016 or so. And like everything he does, he's this, you know, like you said, this tyrannical, authoritative, you know, right-wing extremist monster. And it's, you know, I'm by no stretch of imagination a Putin apologist or fan of Putin, but the fact that, like you said, they're giving him all this, you know, power and authority and prestige, so to speak, it's ridiculous. And I often ask myself, why is this going on? Like, why all of a sudden, Putin has pretty much been the same person. He's been in office since 2000. So over 20 years, he's been the same person. He's invaded Ukraine before. He's invaded other countries before, has not been demonized in any way previously as he has now. And the only thing that I can keep coming back to is this is being used to try to delegitimize Trump. Like, they're doing this now with their eyes set on 2024 and I guess to some part 2022 midterm elections to try to like get all the Trump endorsed candidates to try to delegitimize them. But I can't believe this has nothing to do. I mean, this has all to do with just basically sight set on 2024 and trying to tie in Trump and any supporter of Trump as some kind of ally of Putin, because they've been doing that ever since, you know, was Trump was elected. It was the Russia Mueller investigation. And now they're going back to the well of like, this is, you know, they're trying to tie Trump with Putin and Trump with Russia. And it's just, it's utterly ridiculous. It's utterly false. It's nonsensical. And it's like, I want to say most people don't believe this, but we got to figure there's actually a large, hopefully it's a loud vocal minority that's believing this, but it's just kind of like, it's, you would think we're in the midst of the Cold War, not 2022, with all this tax, you know, going on between Putin and Russia. Like the other day, you know, Biden comes out and was blaming gas prices on Putin still. And it's just, he's become the whipping boy of the West and the United States and Democrats. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And a lot of it's not true, of course, but you know, the Democrats unfortunately control the legacy media. So they're the ones who can control the messaging and all this. And it's just, you know, an embarrassment, really.
I'm surprised Putin hasn't come out and say, guys, it's not me. It's your own leadership. It's Joe Biden. I'm really surprised that he hasn't come out. And if he were to come out, they would probably have a conniption like, oh, my God, he's calling us out. Because as you said, he's their whipping boy. They're blaming him for the gas prices. They're blaming him for the baby formula. They're blaming this man for everything. Everything leads to Putin, according to them, because they don't want people to stop and say, wait a minute, Biden, this is your problem. You're bringing us close to another war, while they all said that Trump was going to do it. Oh, Trump, we're going to be in World War III. Oh, no, not even close to. But you look at what Biden has done. Look at the crisis we have on the border. All of this is Biden's doing, his administration. But the media, they want to cover up for him. And yeah, sometimes they might go down hard on him. They might say, well, actually, but at the same time, they will take it back because they don't want to give Trump any credit. And I look at how their case in this whole thing with gun violence, and we need to take away the guns, and we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to be more concerned about our children. Meanwhile, Biden and the media are tight-lipped as to what happened to Brett Kavanaugh, an attempted assassination. And you know what, Chris? It was done by a white man. Yeah, I mean, they don't like white men. You would think that they would be out there saying, white man, dangerous. They don't like guns. You would think they would be out there saying, white man had a gun. He's dangerous. They haven't said anything. They have just like moved right on. Nothing to see here. Let's just keep moving. Where is Merrick Garland? Why hasn't Merrick Garland come out and said, we need to arrest all these people? Just the other night, just this past weekend, they arrested seemingly white supremacists who were going to disrupt a gay pride parade.
In Idaho, right?
In Idaho. They're going to arrest them, but they're not going to arrest the protesters that are outside Brett Kavanaugh's house. Now, according to statute, and I say this all this time, I like to quote the statute, 18 U.S.C. 1507, it is illegal what they're doing. to protest outside a judge or juror or an attorney with the intent to change their opinion. Where's Merrick Garland, the man that they wanted on the Supreme Court? You would think he would say, no, this is wrong. We need to tell these people, step back. We need to arrest them. But no, they won't do it. And here's the other thing. They keep talking about our children. We need to protect our children from guns. Oh, we need to do this. Meanwhile, they released the address of Amy Coney Barrett and the schools that her children attend. No, I thought we needed to protect our children. What if some maniac goes there with a gun? Now, you see the dichotomy in what they say? We need to protect the children. We need to take the guns off the streets. But who's going to protect Amy Coney Barrett's children? Who's going to do it? They're not thinking about it. They don't care. It's like they're lying. They're telling people that they're concerned because they think it will get them votes. But they don't care about it, Chris. Not at all.
Well, that's the point. You nailed it on the head. This all has to do with votes. Biden and Democrats have a long track record of politicizing tragedies for their advantage and ignoring tragedies that go against their narrative. I mean, case in point, we're looking at the past 6-7 months of, domestic terrorism tragedy. So we have Uvalde, we have Buffalo, and we have stuff with Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court. And then we go back as far as Waukesha, Wisconsin. You know, Biden has still yet to visit Waukesha, Wisconsin. And when he was challenged on that back in November, I think it was Psaki at the time who said that it was too, they couldn't afford or didn't want to dedicate the amount of resources required for Biden to go to Waukesha, Wisconsin, for some lame excuse. And, you know, but meanwhile, he was able to go to Buffalo and he was able to go to Uvalde. And don't get me wrong, I think the president should have gone to Uvalde and Buffalo to those communities. He's the president of the United States. So in that regard, Biden did what he was supposed to do. But in this, before, by him not going to Waukesha shows exactly what he does. I mean, you can't get, it's indicative of his priorities and his political meandering and maneuvering. There's no reason why he shouldn't have gone to Waukesha. But because in Waukesha, it was a black man, which is, goes completely against their narrative, using a car, which is not gun control narrative, plowing into a crowds of white people, which is not the victim narrative to use. There was no political capital or no political reason for him to do so, other than just being a decent human being and he's a president. But other than that, it didn't serve him politically, so he didn't go. And that's why it's that same reasoning and line of thinking that he's not bringing up the thing about Kavanaugh. Like, remember during the debates, I think it was Chris Wallace when they were saying, will you denounce the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, whatever group, something like that, that Trump kind of stumbled upon and caused all this controversy. Well, why aren't the same, holier than thou, sanctimonious press asking Biden to disavow, the violence and the threats, of the Supreme Court justice outside during the protests. And, it's a rhetorical question because we all know the reason why, because they want this to happen.
They want it to happen. He will not disavow it. And like you said, you say Waukesha, I say Waukesha. And you're right. Daryl Brooks mowed down white people. Let's just be honest here. And Biden did not go there. New York City, subway attacker. He didn't go. Most recently, Oklahoma. A black man killed a black doctor at another white doctor. Biden didn't even think to go there. It wasn't even on the schedule. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't a white man doing the killing. That they could say, oh, he's a white supremacist. It just goes back to Brad Kavanaugh. This young man, now I know some won't say it, but I will, and it's my belief, had been radicalized by the left, hearing the nonsense that they had been putting out there, that they're going to stop abortion. And he heard all this garbage being fed a steady diet of hate for these Supreme Court justices, that as he told the police, I guess he got cold feet. I'm here at the house of Brett Kavanaugh, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I have. They should interview him, and not the FBI, because I don't trust the FBI, unfortunately. I don't trust the FBI under Christopher Wray, and I don't trust the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland. But if we had someone who could interview that young man, to find out why did he do what he tried to do? Was it because he had been fed a steady diet of hate from the left? Because that's all we were hearing. As soon as that memo from Alito was leaked, and we still don't know who leaked it, John Roberts doesn't seem to be concerned with it, with the memo and the leaker. But as soon as it was leaked, the media jumped on top of it. They seized the moment and they started feeding people this diet of hate. You got to protest. You got to do this. We've got to get them to change their views, change the way they're going to vote. And I do believe, in my humble opinion, that all the justices should come out and vote together and say that we're going to overrule this and we're going to send it back to the states. They should all in unison come out together and say, this is what we're going to do, because we will not be intimidated. We're going to stand with our fellow justices. Now, I'm sure John Roberts won't do it because he's just as weak as they come, in my opinion, but they should all stand together and issue a unanimous opinion and say, this is where we stand. And let's see how the Democrats will behave then. Let's see what the media, what their reaction will be, because they're the ones that are sending out these people with these hate messages, these hateful ideas to attack fellow citizens. And if they don't get it done that way, well, we'll stack the courts. And then we'll protest for other people to get off the course. I mean, can you imagine being in your private residence and you have these lunatics outside your home and you know what the law says, you know what the statute says, where is Merrick Garland? Well, he's busy trying to arrest parents who are concerned about the curriculum being taught at schools. He's busy, he and Christopher Wray, stalking parents, trying to see what are they looking at on social media. Let's see if we can arrest them, as opposed to keeping an eye on the threats that actually face our American citizens. They're busy looking for white supremacists. I'm sure that there are white supremacists out there. I'm not crazy. They probably number about, I would say, 20,000, but we also have black supremacists that are out there. Waukesha, Wisconsin. Look at what happened with the subway shooter. Oklahoma. And I think in Philadelphia, there was a shooting. And God forbid if we mention Chicago. I mean, that's like a nonstop ongoing situation with blacks killing blacks. But we can't talk about that. What about the guns there? Why would they take away the guns in Chicago? Barack Obama's backyard. Where is Barack Obama? Well, he's in Hawaii buying mansions, I guess, with Black Lives Matter. They're trying to see who can get the largest mansion or else on Martha's Vineyard. And we're going to continue talking about this in our next segment, because these are facts that our listeners, I want our listeners to be aware of, and I want you to share it with other individuals, because this is the only way we can get the truth out there. I know that, Chris, you write about this all the time, the Washington Examiner, and we're going to talk about some of your articles, because, man, I mean, you've been on fire lately. You did an article on Joy Behar, My Big Gay Whopper, an article on Black Lives Matter and their mansions. You also did an article on why it's okay to ridicule white people, but not black people. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the commercial break.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Folks, and we're back here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And as I mentioned at the top of the first half, is that unfortunately, Andrew got injured and he's not with us tonight. But never fear, we have a backup, and it's Chris Tremogli, who is a reporter for the Washington Examiner. And when we were going to break, I was listing some of the articles that Chris has written about, because I would encourage you all to go and read them. So, Chris, one of the questions that I have for you, and I'm sure that our listeners probably have also, is that when you're looking at these articles, or before you write them, how do you decide what you want to write about?
Pretty much what it is. Like, there's obviously something, and it's just basically something that kind of, you know, gets me angry or upset, or like, I can't believe this, like the gay whopper story. Like, uh-huh. It was just kind of like, I can't believe this is actually a thing. Now, fortunately or unfortunately or sadly, however you want to look at it, that whole gay whopper story is only occurring in Burger King's in Austria. And I had the kind of help of a really great customer service employee at Burger King where I'm quoting from my house, kind of helped me mix and match it to get the quote unquote gay whopper. But so something like that, I'll just like catch my eye and I'm like, is this real? Or like, you know, the stuff that's going on where I'm just like, you know, I wrote an article about the Black Lives Matter mural in DC calling yep. for its removal. And I was like, how could this legitimately be a thing after everything we now know about Black Lives Matter, the organization, and also the claims that they were making that have been routinely debunked, you know, frequently debunked over the years about police going around, you know, hunting Black people, so to speak. And it's just like, you know, they're a scam organization. So things like that, that kind of, I just basically get, you know, infuriated myself. And I just uh-huh. use the journalism as like a way to vent, so to speak.
Well, this is good because we have this platform here, After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and we enjoy having you to come on when you write one of these fantastic articles just to discuss it. But like you said, you have the power of the pen whereby you can write about it. And I would encourage all of our listeners, because I'm sure some of you probably see some of the things that are happening and it probably just get at your gut and you want to say something about it. Feel free to vent on our website, After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Now, I want to talk about the big gay whopper first. I also want to double back and talk about Joy Behar and what she said about Blacks and guns. I mean, to me, that was a racist statement. But hey, Joy Behar, the big gay whopper. You know, I live here in New York City, and this is Pride Month. You know, our gay brothers and sisters, I have nothing against them, but I do have a problem when we're singling out identities and we're celebrating identities. We're all human beings. Being gay, your sexuality, does not make you any special than the next person. Being in New York, you look around you all over, you have the pride flag from corporations. Oh, we're pride and we're celebrating it. Why are they bringing their sexuality to the office? If you're gay, that's your business. I can't see that. Now, some will say, yeah, but you know, the way I behave, my mannerism, okay, that's your mannerism. There are heterosexuals that have some questionable mannerisms. But if it's not getting in the way of you doing your job, why am I celebrating? No, don't try to equate that people with being Black or Hispanic. Completely two different things. Completely, you can see a Black person, you can see a Hispanic person. Okay, so let's not conflate the two, which is what the LGBTQ ABC have successfully been able to do, is to try to bring the two together. They've co-opted the causes of Black people and say, oh, we're part of them. But when you look at the community, and I've done a lot of research, and like I said, I have gay friends, and I'm not saying that just to be saying it, but one of their biggest complaints, or one of the biggest complaints that they have, is that within that community is discrimination against Blacks and Hispanics, but no one talks about that. So they have their own issues, but they want to bring all this other stuff out and make force it down our throats and make us celebrate it with them. I took my boys out the other day to a restaurant. We were going to have ice cream. And one of the ice cream cones that they had that they were advertising was the Pride ice cream. Now, they don't know anything from gay or straight. They just saw the colors and like, oh, the rainbow flag. I'm like, what is that? Oh, the rainbow flag. It's the pride flag. It's the colors of the rainbow. We want that ice cream. Now, the father in me was like, hell no. But I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay. Just take it down a level. Take it down a level, Papa. You know, I'm like, okay, get the colorful ice cream cone. But what I find interesting is that this is how they're starting to brainwash our kids. They're putting this out in front of them at an early age. I noticed when we had the shutdown that my boys knew nothing about the American flag in as much as a Pledge of Allegiance, but they knew all the colors of the rainbow flag, and they could tell you what the colors were for. They could not tell you about the stars and the stripes in the American flag. Oh, glory. So I had to teach them that. Sad to say, I had to teach them. So now they know about it. But I'm like, why is it that they know more about the pride flag? I'm just being honest. It's a flag. Okay, put it in its place. But to have it all over when you can't put up the American flag? And when you do, people want to piss on it or burn it down. And this is in America. No, I know you can do whatever you want to do, but come on. Chris, do you see what I'm saying here? This is so wrong.
Yeah, I don't have the perspective of having children to kind of parent, but that, I mean, you brought up an excellent point as far as like they know more about the pride flag than the American flag. And it's, you know, in this regard, sadly, you kind of have to. We don't kind of have to, but it's like you just, that's the power of the propaganda, of the left-wing propaganda that has infiltrated our society for the past 30 or 40 years, that people, like, you know, think this stuff is, you know, normal, it should be celebrated. I'm right there with you. Like, if you're a gay or homosexual or however you want to identify yourself, if you're a girl who wants to identify as a guy or guy who wants to identify as a unicorn, whatever you want to do, that's your own business. You know,
like, they will start that next. Oh, I'm a unicorn.
I think there are people that.
Oh, my God.
Something that identifying as some animal I read somewhere else. And there's this one court case, I think that's actually occurring in New York, something about an elephant having the rights of a human.
Yep, I don't think I heard
it's anything
about that.
Related to LGBT, but it's just kind of like, this is the madness that people on the right just sat with, you know, their hands for so long and just allowed this, you know, infiltration in mainstream American society to happen and kind of like create this toxic environment that we have now. But like the point I was trying to make before is like I don't really care if you're gay, lesbian, whatever. If you want to do that, like you said, that's kind of your own personal business. Like, I don't basically go walking down the street saying, hey, I'm straight, I'm heterosexual, look at me, you know,
right.
or something like I love women in bikinis. Like, you know, it's just like kind of like nonsense stuff like that. This LGBT movement that I just think is just kind of, I think it's kind of an abomination, so to speak, and more so in the fact that I think it actually does a lot of harm to a lot of people who are in the LGBTQ community that just kind of want to live their lives, be normal, go to work, go home, be a raise a family, and then they have like these like lunatics out there. Like last night, I don't know if you saw this, there was apparently a concert in LA for Los Angeles Pride, and Christina Aguilera was performing with some other performers. She came out in Pride with a green dildo on stage performing. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say dildo on this, but, you know.
Yes, she can. It's after dark.
It's after dark. So
yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, and I saw the picture. And I was like, this, like the equivalent. I was trying to think of what is the heterosexual equivalent? And I guess that would have kind of been like some of the stuff that maybe Madonna did in her day, but I don't recall. Even in her heyday and her prime, Madonna, or I guess maybe Prince, although I don't know what Prince's sexuality was, but any like, you know, risque, scantily clad stuff when like it was like perceived to be heterosexual stuff, anyone ever coming out with a sex toy and wearing it, you know, and that's the kind of like this perverted, radicalized, perverted, sick, you know, sexual deviant behavior that is basically has become, I don't know if it's the poster child or is taking over or whatever it is, but that's kind of being associated with all this Pride Month. And that's just wrong. Like, and this stuff we got with drag queens, all of a sudden drag queens are everywhere being taught in schools. Nancy Pelosi is coming out saying, you know, drag queens are part of America. Like, no, they're not. Like, you never saw like heterosexual people advocating for strip shows as well, or strippers coming to school, because that would be the equivalent of drag queens. You have these men dressed as women wearing scantily clad clothes doing risque dancing routines and trying to get money from school students. Well, the heterosexual equivalent of that is strippers in schools. And trust me, I would have loved to see strippers in schools when I was in high school. There was never ever a cause for this happening. Like, no teachers were saying, hey, we're going to be bringing in, you know, the local strip show coming in or burlesque shows, and no one ever did that. So this whole LGBTQ pride thing has transformed from, well, we just want equal rights and not to get, you know, beaten up and discriminated, which I think pretty much everyone supports and can get behind, where and the overwhelming majority, I'm sure you have people who just, you know, don't like it regardless, to now it's basically like this just Caligula's court, you know, hedonistic pleasures, going out, corrupting the minds of the youth, to just kind of like all these like sexual deviant stuff. And it's just, it's wrong. Like, I don't know how anyone could say this stuff is right and be supportive of it in any way. And it's just, it's there needs to be people to take a stand. And I think there needs to be a backlash against pride and even cause the cancel pride, because one, as you eloquently stated in the beginning, being what your sexual attraction or who you find attractive or the gender of the person or your sexual orientation doesn't really make you any special.
Right.
I mean, it's, if you want to be gay, great. By all means, go be gay. If you want to be straight, more power to you. But, you know, this fact that we have this thing, like I said, I think it started as in a way to like bring awareness and to try to not like, you know, injure or hurt or assault, discriminate, you know, against the homosexual community, which, like I said, I could obviously support, and I would think that most people can get behind, but it should have stopped there. Now they're trying to like, it's now they're trying to like push it to the fact that like, if you don't like this, you're, you know, a horrible person. And now not only do you have to like this, but you have to like our sick, perverted pleasures, hedonistic pleasures, and subscribe to it. Otherwise you're still a bigot. And that's where it's entirely wrong.
It's all about identity, and they're putting it in your face up front. And it's like, and you better accept this. As I've said before on our show, if a gay man hits on a straight man, that straight man better say, wow, I'm flattered. Wow, I like this. Because if he were to say anything else, he's a bigot. They will ostracize him. And if he is a person in the public sphere, they will try to destroy him. Now, just going back to what you're saying about the strippers, as we learned not too long ago, I think it was in Texas, whereby they took the kids to a drag show, a strip club, and the kids were putting money in these strippers' G-strings.
Oh, now, that's been going all over. That they had one in Pennsylvania too. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Like, it's like this. Who knew? I didn't have any of this when I was in high school, and I don't know why. when this became a thing.
While you were talking, I did a little research. If you think back, I think it was in the 80s. Joe Clark, who was a Maverick teacher.
All right, Lean On Me,
and
right?
Lean On Me. And you remember, he had brought in, I think, strippers into school, and he got fired. There was a big uproar, but no one is saying anything about drag queens, drag hour at the schools. Why do we have to have a drag queen reading to students? What about grandma and grandpa? What happened to them? Why do we have to take kids to a drag bar? I mean, no, adults can go there. I'm okay with that. But kids? See, this is the grooming. This is the indoctrination.
Oh, it totally is. And there's a clear agenda and brainwashing attempt behind that. Like I said, there's a reason why they're going to these, you know, drag shows, but you're not taking kids to the strip joints. And I'm not advocating, you know, taking kids or students to strip clubs. I want to make that very clear. But it's like, if you want to talk about equality and being things on the same wavelength and path, that would be the reciprocating you know, measure to do. Like, if you're winning, because that's essentially what drag shows are. They're basically strip shows with just, you know, people who are men pretending to be women. So if you want to believe in equality, and they said, that's where I say, like, this whole equality thing has never been about equality, because equality is one thing. There was never, ever, and I'm actually not familiar with the Joe Clark stripper story, but there's never been a push about, you know, trying to fight to have strippers and so, or teachers taking kids to strip shows after school, or hosting strippers come in after. Like, that's never been part of the curriculum, the way that it's being advocated and pushed. Like, can you just imagine, like, the Speaker of the House saying, oh yeah, strippers are part of our country's history. Like, the way Pelosi was so, you know, supportive and nonchalant about drag queen shows, whatever the comment she says, Garland's like, I think she said something like drag queen shows are part of America. And I'm like, really? Like, you're going to go out there and say, like Newt Gingrich coming out saying, I'm Speaker of the House.
Well, Chris,
I love my stripper shows. You know,
right. Chris, remember, she was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, she was a judge. Now, I don't care for RuPaul, that show, drag. I've heard that it's really entertaining. But see, this was the genesis of this whole thing. And then they tried to couch it with, well, if you don't accept this, you don't like me. Every show on TV just about has a gay character. has a lesbian character, has a drag queen. It's like, why can't we just have regular family entertainment?
And that's the thing I think that a lot of people are losing track of. Like, I think the people that are against these, like, this woke programming that see, like, you know, like two women going to bed would be just as outraged if they had a man and a woman, you know, who were engaged in sexual activity on shows and going to bed. That, well, probably not just outraged. I'll be true about that. Obviously, that's more common. But I just think that the whole, like, mature material of sexual relations that they don't want to basically have available for children's eyes, that they want kind of to go back to like the sitcoms of like the 80s and 90s, you know, that were just like good old hardcore family values that supported, you know, this type of lifestyle, rather than now it just has like everything is just has this like hedonistic feel to it. Like I'm just thinking about this as we were talking about the introduction of gay characters in TV, and from obviously I wasn't around, you know, in the 60s, 70s, you know, and whatnot, but I know that I think that one of the first gay characters on TVs was Billy Crystal's character in Benson, if I'm not correctly. And I could be wrong, like I haven't done an extensive study.
No, it was actually Billy Crystal in the sitcom Soap. It was a show called Soap.
Yes, yes, you're right. Yes, right. Sorry.
Yep.
So I think that was like the first. I can't recall of any major gay character in any famous 80s sitcom. And then when you go to the 90s, I think TV got corrupted a little bit. And I want to say like the pinpoint that I can recall is like with Beverly Hills 90210 and like all these sexual, mature, scantily clad stuff that they were doing there. That was like the beginning of like the corruption of TV. And then I remember in the show called Dawson's Creek towards the late 90s, which I actually was a big fan of. They had a gay character there, and he was one of the main characters they introduced. And it was like a big scandal, you know, or a big, you know, thing when he came out as gay, and they showed him going to prom with a guy. And that was sort of like, to my own perspective, of all the shows that I watched, where all this like introducing gay characters began. And then it seems like, you know, progressively, you know, go a couple of decades later, now everyone has a gay character, and you have to have a gay character somewhere, somehow, for some reason, like you said, for representation purposes, which is just like, they say representation purposes, but in reality, it's more like brainwashing and indoctrination purposes.
Yeah, it's indoctrination. They have an underlying meaning behind it. That's the reason why they're throwing it out there. Like I said, if you're gay, that's fine. If you want to have a character, but in every scene, and it's just like, they're just throwing it out there. I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, the Saved by the Bell remake. I don't know if you watched Saved by the Bell back in like
I remember
the
Saved by
90s.
The Bell, yes.
Okay, they made a remake on, or a sequel or whatever you want to call it, continuation series on the Peacock Network on NBC. I think it just got canceled. It was absolutely a horrible show, nothing like the original. But one of the lead characters who are in high school now was a transgendered girl, and she was a transgendered, like legitimately transgender girl actress. And then her character, I think, was supposed to be a female, although I never really watched it that much to delve into the fine details. But it was like, here we go again. They're trying to normalize, you know, this type of thing. In the Netflix show Inventing Anna, one of the supporting characters was a transgender actress portraying a woman, you know, in the actual story. And it's like they're trying to normalize this and make it, you know, so the next generation, not so much this generation, but like, you know,
yep,
you know, maybe
the next
your
generation
kids kind of think that, oh, this is normal. And this is right, like leading to the moral decay of society. You know, not like they said, I don't think anyone wants like, you know, the LGBTQ community to be like, you know, beaten up or assaulted or discriminated or suffer any harm. But at the same time, they don't want to like have their kids subjected to drag shows to show how sensitive and enlightened they are to the left-wing, you know, movement here.
And that's what it is. So we're up on a break, another commercial break. And when we come back, we will continue this discussion as well as discuss other articles that Chris has written. See you on the other end of the break. Thank you.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we are back, the last half of After Dark with Robin Andrew. And when we went to commercial break, Chris and I, we were still talking about this whole thing with gay pride and Pride Month. We have nothing against it, so please don't think that. And if you think that we do, please write in to us and share your thoughts about it. But I find it really concerning. Our president deliberately, I think, chose not to recognize V-Day, but he could recognize Pride Month. That's embarrassing. He forgot all about V-Day and Normandy and how our troops stormed the beaches, but he did not forget about Gay Pride Month. I think he was pandering to voters, as they always do, always being they, the Democrats. But to give this whole Pride thing an entire month of celebration, what for? We don't even celebrate Black History Month that long. It has a month, but they'll probably talk about it once or twice, and then that's it. But Pride, an entire month, one day, hey, you're here, that's good, you have your parade, you move on. But entire month for identity. And as we said, we don't want our gay brothers and sisters to be harmed, because they shouldn't be, because they're human beings. And if people think they can just go out and harm them, then we apply the law and we put them in jail, plain and simple. But to have a month of celebration of people cavorting around, half-dressed, simulating sex acts, bringing this into our children, why our children? But when you start bringing in a celebration that's just celebrating identity, we've got a problem. But Chris, when we went to break, you were saying that you're getting ready to do an article. I don't know if you can talk about it now or not, but have at it.
Yeah, I have to be careful, because I actually hasn't gotten approved yet, so I guess I could be overruled. What I would basically like to say is this: write something calling for the end of Pride Month as we know it now. Because I mean, I know there was someone I was talking to, or I read something on social media. Actually, I think it was something on social media where someone said that, you know, Pride Month has evolved into this thing where there's two school of thoughts for like the LGBT community. Is that there's the people who are LGBTQ who just basically didn't want to be beaten up, or threatened to be murdered or discriminated against, and kind of just wanted to live their lives and go on as normal. And then you have like this contemporary, like, sycophantic, brainwashed, indoctrinated, sexual deviant group that just basically wants to show off how gay they are and their hedonistic pleasures. And that's kind of where I kind of draw the line. It's like, no, we don't need this. Like, if you want to be have a Pride Month for being gay, so people don't go around and start harming homosexuals, I'll support that. Let's do that. But don't turn that into a way to basically try to normalize this sick, twisted, perverted, hedonistic displays that they have going on there, that they're trying to equate that to the LGBTQ, because it's not. Like I said, you don't see any heterosexual people going around specifically on display, showing off like scantily clad or performing sexual acts in like parades or anything like that, because it's inappropriate. And just as inappropriate as, these things that are going on now. And that's the thing where I want to basically say, no, this is how they're going to be presented, if this is going to become synonymous with the LGBTQ Pride Month and Pride parades, all that stuff, then no, the Pride has to go, because that's not what this should be. There's no, and this isn't like calling for like, grotesque heterosexual display acts either. This is just basically saying, no, this, if you want to do this stuff, do it in your bedroom, do it in your house, keep it private, do it amongst yourselves. Don't like put this on and display for everyone to see, because it's not synonymous with LGBTQ people or the origins of Pride Month, or trying to get LGBTQ equality.
like I said, most people would subscribe to that thinking of, like, you know, like you said before, we don't want anything to happen to them. They shouldn't be harassed, assaulted, hurt in any way because of their orientation. But now we've kind of swung the pendulum way to the other side, where, like, now we have to accept all these, like, perverted sexual deviant acts as normal, and it's not normal, and we have to accept them as part of the LGBTQ culture. And no, we shouldn't accept it as part of the LGBTQ culture, because these are just, you know, things that are should be done by private, you know, individuals. And that's why I'm kind of against Pride Month as in general. And I only have to go further than maybe something that happened less than 24 hours ago with the Christina Aguilera thing. Yeah, I mean, that was a concert and all, and I'm assuming, although it wouldn't surprise me, there weren't many children that were involved there. It seemed like it was pretty adult show, so when you're adult, you pay for that, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. But the fact that that was celebrated as, like, an iconic thing, and, like, and to try to make that synonymous with, you know, equal rights to LGBTQ people, this is no. It's like we're basically falling. You know, there's, like, this moral decay occurring in American society, of where we're kind of pushing all these, like, disgusting, deviant, and I know I'm repeating myself, you know, hedonistic things, and we're trying to basically focus on pleasure rather than, you know, anything productive in society. And that's my reasoning, and I know a lot of people feel the same way, and that's what I think, that I just kind of, like, the purpose of Pride Month or Pride events have kind of, like, you know, if they've served their purpose, it's done. You know, let's get it out of society now, especially the way, or let's get the current version out of society, because the current version has absolutely nothing to do with equal rights or, you know, equality. It has basically to do with showing off disgusting stuff and perverted ways of some people who, for some reason, need to show off their sexual escapades to feel that they're part of society, and it's just wrong.
Right. And as I said, I've had great friends who talk to me about this, and we've had guests on After Dark, and they've said the exact same thing, that they don't agree with the new LGBTQ ABC platform. We had Ricky Rebel, who's a singer, who came on, and he said that he doesn't identify with that community because he sees that the perversion that they're pushing. Peter Boykin, who was running for political office, said the exact same thing. And they both said that what they're trying to push down, or the indoctrination of our children, is extremely dangerous. But you have those woke parents, some of them are rather wealthy, who have bought into this. And for them to say that, oh, I have a child who's a member of the LGBTQ community, is like a status symbol almost. Never mind the fact that the harm this kid is going through. When you have a kid at a school, and we read about this, and we had a guest to come on, Kelly, who spoke about this. And she's saying that when kids are going to their guidance counselor, and the counselor says, what's wrong? And the kid goes, well, I feel strange. And then the first thing they're introduced to is that, well, do you consider yourself a boy or a girl? And as opposed to getting the meaningful counseling, they immediately run to hormone blockers, or maybe you don't want your body to change. Now, we don't know what the long-term effects of these hormone blockers are. But this is what they're pushing. And this is what we see in this whole new push to make everything pride and happy and come out day and all this. Meanwhile, as I said, Joe Biden couldn't say anything about V-Day. He couldn't say anything about it. But he could talk about Transgender Day. He can talk about pride. This is wrong. What has happened in our society? Okay, you got your one day, go home. That's it. But the sexual perversions that comes along with it, it has co-opted the real meaning, I guess, of what they had intended this for. But when you're going to companies and they're pushing drag queens, I mean, it's sickening. These people do need help, regardless as to what we're being told by these woke psychiatrists and woke sociologists. They need help. They need counseling. And then after the counseling, if they still feel that way, okay, so be it. But at a young age, as early as 3, and you're doing this indoctrination, and then you're putting all these images in front of these kids because you want them confused. And Chris, I do believe that they're purposely trying to confuse these kids. They want to confuse them.
The more they do that, the more it becomes, you know, accepted, the more it becomes accepted, becomes normalized. And that's the overall goal. They're basically using they're trying to indoctrinate children to basically you know, like you say, confuse them so that they can identify. I mean, that's why you say, like, what is it? I just saw the other day, like, the Generation Z has like 20% or 30% of the people identify as like transgender or gender, whatever you want to call it. And that's the reason why, if they have more kids think this way, we'll kind of, you know, be able to normalize it. And then that'll basically be create, like, you know, the generation after us, when I'm going to be dead, or, you know, towards the twilight of my life, they're going to basically be all like this whole, like, oh, you know, I'm a guy today on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, I'm a man on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, I'm a woman. And then I'm indifferent on Sundays and all these other things, these things that kind of come out as, you know, normal, and it's not, and it ultimately leads to, like, the downfall of a society, and and then that's what, you know, everyone doesn't fail to realize here, and then it's just like I said, it's ridiculous that we got to this point, and it's somehow that needs to be stopped. I don't know how they get that to be stopped, because it's gained so much momentum now, and let's be real, Republicans aren't exactly the knights in shining armor when they have to, like, you know, defend cultural issues. So it's not like you could rely on, say, like, this group of people can lead the charge against it.
Right.
So there's a lot of challenges ahead. And one thing I wanted to actually point out earlier, when you were talking about the people that are in the LGBT community who are against what Pride has evolved, I think the Log Cabin Republicans actually came out and said specifically the same type of thing, like, no, this is not what we wanted. You know, we wanted just to, like, you know, the whole Matthew Shepard case, which I heard, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was in Montana. He was this gay guy who was just, you know, killed for being gay. That's what everyone wanted to stop. And I think that's what everyone can get behind and say, like, hey, and if you want to be gay and you shouldn't feel, you know, weird or have any misgivings about it, that's what you want to do, that's your own business. But at the same time, we're now in 2022, where, like I said, you see some of the images of the Pride parade. Like, why? What purpose does that serve towards promoting equality? That's not promoting equality. That's just promoting, you know, just perverted sexual acts. Like I said, we've gone to Caligula's court is where we're basically at now. You know?
Yeah, sexual perversion, you know, with what Christina coming out with a dildo. Now, I do remember back in the day, Madonna, she was rather risque, and she did come out with these really weird outfits. But like as you said, these are adults, and if this is what you want, that's fine. But trying to introduce it to the kids, and I think at one of those drag queen shows that they had taken the kid to, there was a sign saying, you can't do something to it, lick it. Like, are you serious? But this is where we are. Now, Chris, as we're coming up on the end of the show, I want to throw in one more article that I want to discuss, and that's Joy Behar's comments about Black people and guns, which to me was very offensive. So,
that idiot.
What was the genesis for that, other than the fact that she would say something, and she actually believes it, that, well, if you give Black people guns, I bet that they'll shut it down then. It's like, Black people have guns, you dummy.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's like, you ever, like, the stuff that liberals get away with saying about Black people minorities, like, what exactly do they think of them? You know, and I put this in my article. First, they weren't, somehow Black people were incapable of getting government IDs, as if they're just, like, you know, I don't know, whatever, why, how they could, you know, that just, they're just so, you know, oppressed and so
stupid and dumb. That's the way they're really saying.
Downtrodden, stupid, and dumb, can't do the basic essentials in life because of all this oppression, that they can't get a government ID, which, by the way, I think you need for pretty much everything, even to get a job. You know, you need to have an ID. And now Joy Behar is like, well, when Black people start getting guns, which the irony, well, not irony, but the funny part about all this is, one, she was talking to a Black woman who was telling, who was like the conservative host of the day at the time, who is telling a tale about a Black man who bought an AR-15 to protect his family. And the white Joy Behar is telling the Black woman what's going to happen when Black people start owning guns. And it's just like, no, how is she still employed? How is she not, like, you know, suspended? How is she not fined for her stupidity? Like, it's just, you have to be a complete idiot to not know that Black people have owned guns, can own guns, and have done so for quite a long time. And if you somehow are still blind and oblivious to that, you can spend the 78 seconds it takes to go on Google and, you know, look up the statistics of gun ownership among Black Americans in this country. And I think they actually, comparative to their percentage of the population in the U.S., Blacks make up like 13% of the country. 40%, I think, and I might have the numbers mixed up, so don't quote me entirely, but 40, I think it was 40 or 30 to 40% of all gun owners, legal gun owners in this country are Black American. So it's like, they're not only do they have guns, yep, and own guns, they're owning guns more legally, more just, you know, at a higher rate than white Americans are. And this is like, this is indicative, and it tells what white liberals like Joy Behar actually think of how poorly they think of Black people.
Yep, you're spot on. This is how poorly they think of Black people, but people don't see it. And as I've said on one of our shows last week, is that what's happened is that these woke white liberals are in essence putting Black people's lives in danger with the rhetoric that they keep putting out there. They're putting our lives in danger, because what's happening is that they're virtue signaling that, you know, we've got to help these people out because they can't help themselves out. Now you imagine some white kid out there who's completely confused, being fed that diet that they're going to put these people above me and mine, and we don't have anything. We're not well off. We don't have any money. I'm just as poor as the next guy. But then you're going to give to these people? Look at the hate that's being created. So you're, in essence, making Black people sitting ducks by putting us out there. And it is dangerous. It is extremely dangerous.
So, and you brought up the point before, a few seconds ago, when you were saying about like what they think of Black people. It's like they're basically saying, hi, I'm a white liberal. I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. And I know what's better for you, Black person, than you do, because I'm a white liberal. And that's basically what people like Joy Behar, you know, think. And this fact that she could get away with something so stupid. And that's not even taking into consideration the illicit gun crime that goes on in the inner city gun communities, which are numerous every weekend. You hear what's going on in Philadelphia, you know, Chicago, St. Louis, talking about guns. The fact that she can get away with saying this and basically only have a slight challenge from that co-host of her that day that was on is just kind of like, what is wrong with you? And the fact that it shows everything you need to know about liberals right there. I mean, I think that was like the perfect living embodiment of what liberals truly think about minorities in that one like segment between Joy Behar talking about gun control and guns and owning guns. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And why more white liberals and Black people who claim to want to have empowering Black, you know, lives in this country don't see this is beyond me.
Well, I think they see it. I think they just choose not to say anything. Well, folks, we're up on the hour. We want to thank our special guest for sitting in for Andrew, Chris Schmogli, who is a reporter for the Washington Examiner. I would encourage you all to go and read his articles because they are on fire. So you're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. And as Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. We hope you will join us again tomorrow night. Be safe. God bless. Thank you.